The Geek Cave, brought to you by BuzzTime. Great minds drink alike. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to the DT Podcast Movies segment. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad, and we are brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. BuzzTime, great minds drink alike, and GameStop, power to the players. So, 12 years after his death, Steve Irwin is getting a star on the Walk of Fame.
All right.
As of yet, there's no word on whether or not there will be any cute, albeit deadly, little buggers as permanent residents on the star. Double Dare is coming back to Nickelodeon.
Woohoo!
So if you were an 80s kid and you had a cable or satellite, then this game was one of the be-all, end-alls of childhood.
Yes, it was.
Part trivia game, part obstacle course, and all messy. Is a funny show that ran for 7 years, and Nickelodeon's ordered 40 more episodes.
Nice.
So, no host has been named, but there seem to be plans to bring back guests and challenges from prior incarnations of the show. You guys remember Chicken Run?
Yeah.
A movie from like the 2000?
Yep.
It was a parody of a Steve McQueen feature called The Great Escape.
Mm-hmm.
And it still holds the record for the most successful stop-motion movie. So, clearly 18 years later, we need a sequel.
Clearly.
The original writers are back. The director is Sam Fell, who I know him from Paranorman, but was also he also directed the Flushed Away and The Tale of Despero.
Okay.
So, my thinking is that if this completes the story of The Great Escape, then all the chickens are going to be captured again by the McTweeties, and the majority of the chickens are going to be baked into delicious pies. Because, spoiler alert for a movie that came out in the 60s, The Great Escape, most of the prisoners are caught and executed. So Ginger will just have to go into the coop, where she'll throw a baseball against a wall over and over again. So there are some stories that are thought of as unfilmable. You know, until someone does a credible job of filming it.
Yes.
You know, Watchmen was one of these. Nobody thought Watchmen would make a movie, and some say it still doesn't make a movie, but it does a credible job of telling the story. Cloud Atlas is another one, and I really enjoyed Cloud Atlas, and that the book is very challenging. I would have put Stephen King's work, The Long Walk, as another one of these unfilmable projects, because almost everything is just kind of in the head. He did it writing as Richard Bachman, and the studio is bringing, the studio that brought you It, New Line Cinema, is going to try bringing us The Long Walk. So in a dystopian world, 100 teens are set out on a walk that's kind of a contest. The winner wins big, and the 99 losers don't. Spoiling things would be a disservice to the story. It's an old story. It's easy to find in your library. Might even be online. That being said, if they give the teens their quote-unquote ticket like they do in the book, then this is going to rank right up there with darkest teen dystopia that we've seen on film. So I've got a bunch of reviews. Darren, Justin said he does not.
I do not.
Darren, you have a review for Tomb Raider.
Yes, the latest in a long line of video game films, not counting Ready Player One, which was kind of its own thing. But Tomb Raider, which just came out and left theaters not that long ago. It was good. I mean, it wasn't great. Rotten Tomatoes has it sitting at a 49%. However, the audience score is much higher at 88%. But Alicia Vikander, she plays Lara Croft. I thought she did an excellent job. For the most part, the film is pretty strictly kind of a merger of the first two games in Square Enix's little reboot trilogy that they're currently doing on modern consoles. Definitely a more realistic, if that can be a thing, take on Lara Croft. When you consider that Angelina Jolie is the other take, it's not that hard. The only problems I had with the film, early on, you're met with, this is Lara's life on the streets of random British town, random British modern town. You know, she's a courier, she delivers Chinese food, whatever. There's a guy who's really trying to work up the nerve to talk to her, and you're kind of interested in seeing where this goes, and forget about him, he's gone! He's gone, you'll never see him again, that's for sure. Okay, well, turns out that Lara's running away from her past because her father is presumed dead, and Lara could become a bajillionaire, but she doesn't want to sign the papers and admit that he's dead. Oh, she signed them. Okay. Well, good thing that plot point worked itself out. But other than kind of a choppy first act, the rest of the movie is really well done. I'm kind of disappointed that it didn't make more money in the box office because, to be frank, it's probably the best video game movie that they've done. At least games that were specifically, movies that were specifically based on a video game. So I do recommend you at least check it out if you've played either of the reboots or if you're just interested in the character as a whole. It's not a perfect film by any means, but it's definitely watchable.
Cool. And Justin, I completely misunderstood. You nodded your head up and down that you had a review, and I just saw you shaking your head because I thought you were being typical and not having a whole lot. So saw a movie.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I was still on gaming segment autopilot. So you asked, and I said no, but I do have a review, a very brief review. I actually got to see Ready Player One, and it was a good movie. Mm-hmm. It was the kind of movie where it had so many little Easter eggs that you would probably have to go back and watch it another three or four times to get to catch everything. It's the basic gist of the movie is it's in the future and the population has kind of exploded in a sense where people are kind of crammed together like trailers on top of each other. And you have this thing called the Oasis. It's a completely immersive VR world that has become this like soul money-making. It's the thing that keeps things going, keeps the economy going. It's what people go to when they want to detach from everything. You earn coins and credits in there, and if your avatar dies, you kind of lose everything, which could be seen as losing literally everything in life. And we follow the main protagonist through, and everybody's trying to win these challenges to become the sole owner of the Oasis after its creator died. I'm trying not to give too much away because I really enjoyed the movie, and I think you should go see it. The book is just as good, but the movie differs from the book due to licensing. Because it is basically a love letter to the 70s and 80s pop culture. And they make a lot more references in the book to stuff that they couldn't translate into movie for licensing reasons. You see a ton of Warner Brothers and Amblin Entertainment and stuff like that pop up. Nods to Spielberg films because it's a Steven Spielberg film. Obviously, they couldn't include everything. Mm-hmm. But there are some nice little nods in the background if you just sit and watch it. The story itself is a very good story. I enjoyed it. My spouse enjoyed it. And she read the book and she enjoyed both for different reasons. Mm-hmm. So if you have a chance, I don't think it's in theaters anymore, unfortunately. But if you have a chance, go see it. It was good.
Cool. So if you... chances are that you've already downloaded and listened to our Infinity War conversation But if you were scared away by the spoilers and you still haven't seen it, that's fine. This is unspoilery. You know, it's a solid watch. You know, go see it. Go see the movie. While we agree that it's not perfect, its flaws are overshadowed by what they got right.
Agreed.
In the movie, stuff happens, good and bad, mostly bad stuff for our heroes. But the film holds well. I think that Marvel has, and the Russo brothers specifically, have an uphill battle to I don't want to say walk back, but to resolve the issues that they've created in the movie. I think they've got an interesting task ahead of them to do it, so it doesn't feel contrived.
Yes.
Because I'm still a little bit on that, they could have done this a little bit more effectively frame of mind. But at the same time, something that I think could be done more effectively otherwise might be exactly right once we see how it's resolved.
Yeah.
You know? So go see it. You know, we have our ultra spoilery conversation and go to it. In another week, maybe we'll have a different opinion. And if we have an opinion that differs wildly enough, we'll write something up and put it on the cave. Geekcavepodcast.com.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. So so I have the random movie review, but the thing is that the random movie review, the dice sent me to a TV show, and that's not a movie to review. But because the dice sent me to that, I will go ahead and review Little Lunch, the Halloween Horror Story, as we did. And it's good? Question mark. It's hard to tell because it's so long since I've been a middle schooler, and I don't have a middle schooler to connect with in this realm. But effectively, Little Lunch is an Australian kids show, of which the Halloween Horror Story is like a special episode, and you can watch all these on Netflix, and they're not bad. It's a mockumentary. Think The Office, you know, where, or Parks and Rec, where they'll just stop and talk to the camera for a while. Except the premise of the show is that while they're at recess, and their recess is called Little Lunch, they don't have a cafeteria, so at this recess, that's when they eat their lunch. Okay? And while they're eating their lunch, they're telling you, the viewer, a story about what has happened in the day or in the week or something, and then everything is told in flashbacks. And so you get this kid's eye perspective on what's going on, which means some things are blown way out of proportion and some things are just kind of glossed over that an adult would be like, wait, we need more of this. In this case, the kids are telling us about a Halloween play that they're putting on and how the subject matter hit a classmate a little too close to home. See, the classmate just found out that he was going to be moving away for a long time because his mom got transferred to a new job. And although he acts like everything's fine, he becomes less and less fine as the play goes on because the play is about being left behind by his friends. So it's an uplifting story. I mean, it's not after school special uplifting, but it's
really what is.
It's a good show, and it's got a lot of fun to recommend it. If you've got kids that are around 8 to 9 years old, then I heartily recommend it. But it's not a movie, so it's not a random movie review. Before we get to that, I'd like to recommend to you Greg Davies' You Magnificent Beast. It is a stand-up special exclusive to Netflix, at least right now, and there's a lot of fun to be had in it. And that being said, if you do not find the last 10 minutes funny, then we cannot be friends anymore.
And I've watched it, and as per lately, my review stands. Chad and I are still friends.
And the last 10 minutes?
That was great.
The men's choir, right?
Yes, it was glorious. And that's all that's all we should say about it, the men's choir.
The men's choir that sings in Welsh.
Yes.
but it's subtitled, so don't worry.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
So all I have, well, and I guess we could roll our dice. We can find out.
You want to do that now? Okay.
Let's find out.
I rolled a one.
Right, but Darren had the big dice to tell us where we were gonna.
Yeah, I got a two.
Oh. Okay, so action and adventure and a one, so I'm going to review psychokinesis.
All right.
It's 102 minutes, so it's probably a movie.
Okay.
Then. Really
Hopefully
short
that's
TV
not
show.
A TV. So it's like Sherlock. It's just a whole bunch of 90-minute episodes. I hope it's not that, because this doesn't look like a good movie. So, is Kent available?
And now, it's time for Chad Savage's Random Movie Review.
Thank you, Kent. I would like to talk to you about Beer Fest.
Yes.
Go on.
Beer Fest. And this will be probably one of the shortest reviews I give on this podcast.
All right.
So, I chose Beer Fest. Basically, from Little Lunch, I just added one until I got to a movie. And Beer Fest happened to be it. Jan and Todd, Wolfhouse, they're both men, in case you thought that Jan wasn't. Or Todd wasn't, are tasked with bringing their grandfather's ashes to Germany. It's part of the family tradition. They arrive at Oktoberfest and accidentally start a fight. And after that, they discover that they're related to the German drinking champs who take place in a giant German beer or a giant beer drinking festival called Beer Fest. And that German champions basically tell them that your grandpa was a stable boy, who stole our recipe. It was the best beer in the world. That's how they talk. I'm not making that up. I'm not trying to be funny. That's how they talk. And your grandfather, he ran away with the beer recipe. And his whore of a mother. And, well, the mother is great Gam Gam, and she's still alive. And so the boys are kind of upset about this.
Yeah.
So they have a drinking game, which they lose because drinking champs, German team.
Yeah. Come on. And Americans drinking beer against Germans.
I tell you.
Yeah.
So the guys go back home and they vow that they're going to put a team together and they're going to train all year for Beer Fest and win. So they put a team together of a heavy drinker, a male prostitute who is a master of beer games like Pong and such, quarters, and a chemist to help them figure out how to drink beer faster and better. And they start training. And in that, they eventually find the stolen beer recipe. But they also find out that their grandfather didn't steal it. It's rightfully his. And they brew it. It's Schnitz and Giggle beer. A beer so good, it makes them cry. Stuff happens. They find out that great Gram Gam really was a prostitute. They go back to Germany where, surprise, surprise, they win the drinking contest and regain ownership of the brewery because it's that kind of movie. So here's the review. Do you like Super Troopers?
Yes.
Are you unable to see Super Troopers 2 for some reason? Then see Beer Fest on Netflix. It's by the same people, and while it isn't a bad movie, it's not a good movie. So see it with friends. Preferably while enjoying some beer. And watch the ending just for the crap CGI. It is masterful to behold. Like it is so bad, I almost wept with tears of joy that there was finally something in it that I could just point to and go, wow, it takes guts to be that bad. And guts they got. That's what I have. Psychokinesis next month. Oh, crap. So, clearly you found us. So, if you didn't like us, tell your clergyman. If you did like us, tell your friends. I'm Chad for Darren, Justin, and the ever-amazing Kent Harris. This has been the Geek Cave Podcast. Thanks for listening, and remember, everyone is a geek for something.